Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome everybody to the Chakroy Meditation Podcast. Today I'm really delighted to be joined by Swami Nityananda, who is the meditation community leader and spiritual leader at the Awake Yoga Meditation Center in Baltimore. So welcome, Swami. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Roseanne, it's amazing to be with you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm always, you know, Your title and what you represent and who you are makes you interesting enough to talk to anyway. But I know that you're going to have so many interesting perspectives on meditation. You know, you lead a whole community in meditation. And I suppose in a small way, I kind of do as well, but in a very different way. So I think the first thing that I want to ask you is, I think that my listeners will want to know is, Swami is a title. Can you please just explain to us what that means and what that represents?
Sure. So Swami Nityananda is the name that my teacher gave me. And my teacher was Swami Shankarananda, and he founded our meditation community, Awake Yoga Meditation. And so a Swami confers the title of Swami on another. And what happened was my teacher recognized me as his successor. And so before he left the body, as yogis say, before he passed, he appointed me as his successor and he made me a Swami. And then Nityananda was the name that he gave me. And so Swami is a reminder for all humans that we're all invited to be sovereign of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we're invited, I think one of the ways that the Tao Te Ching puts it is we're invited to bring harmony and peace within ourselves. We're invited to conquer any aspect of ourselves that is keeping us from living in joy and living in freedom. And that's the true victory, like that's the true triumph. It's not seeming to conquer another. It's conquering ourselves. It's resolving within ourselves any conflict that we have that prevents us from just being fully here and allowing ourselves to be fully of service to whatever is highest and best, however the divine, if that's your word for it, or the universe, if that's your word for it, however that energy of light would like to share through us. It's really simple. That's the task for each human, is just how may I allow that light to share through me in the highest, purest, best way possible, right where I am, like in my ordinary human life with my own talents and accent and skill set and background. How can I simply allow that light to share through me?
Wow, that's so beautiful. And you make it sound so easy. It sounds so easy. Yeah, you just, you just let the light come in but we all battle so much with so many things in our lives and, the external things that we perhaps have or seemingly we feel like we have no control over come and disturb that peace and that contentment. And you make it sound just like a yes, we all want to be there with you. So we want to form that. But how? And I mean, I guess your one word answer would be meditation, but this is a lifetime's journey, right?
Well, so definitely, I think the yogis are very honest. And I think your question is also very spiritually true and honest. The yogis say that our lifetime, this is our practice, like our whole lifetime. And so, actually, meditation is not the 10 minutes or 20 minutes of quiet that you're seated. It's your whole life. Like, so your whole life is this energy of joy and peace flowing through you if you allow it. But I have a question for you and for all listeners. What if we let it be easy? What if we just gave ourselves permission? We said, I know that within myself, there's always this energy of peace, and it's more important for me to stay connected with that energy of peace and to allow that energy of peace to melt away any illusion, any distraction, any fear, any pain, any separateness, and then from moment to moment, just stay in the current and energy of that peace and allow that to transform. And so yogis say that always, I mean, in some ways, always, that energy of wholeness and peace and joy, it's absolutely present within each of us. And then from a human perspective, let's be honest, as you said, it feels like it requires sometimes like moment by moment practice and reconnection with that energy of joy and peace. But what happens? And so I'll start to just describe a few examples. So the beautiful humans who meditate with us at Awake Yoga Meditation, they're everywhere from age 10 to into their 90s. They're from all backgrounds, all races, all genders, all classes, all professions. It's, people who are highly creative and work in healing modalities and are musicians and songwriters, but it's also like CEOs and dentists and doctors and lawyers and attorneys and surgeons. So some people, just like all humans from all backgrounds, all nationalities. And what they very consistently report to us is it is possible. And the energy of meditating in community, the energy of hearing teachings of yoga philosophy in community help us connect with this. So we steady ourselves in our own connection to that energy of joy and peace. And we amplify together the energy of joy and peace for everyone else. And we do this regularly. So we offer meditations on Sundays, on Tuesdays, on Fridays. We have a study group on Wednesdays. And it's not that every person has to do every one of those, but if you're regularly allowing yourself to connect in community with this energy of quiet, the energy of inspiration, the energy of wholeness, what happens is that all of these humans from all backgrounds say it does become easier. We do become steady. We do become established in this energy. And this energy allows us to transform. Like you were alluding to, I don't think you used this word, but you were alluding to, there can be a lot of pain that humans experience. This allows us to transform that. And there can be like trauma that humans experience. This allows us to transform that. And so it's also these teachings and these practices are deeply practical. And they're immediately accessible, and we can shift our consciousness and our energy instantly, and then live into that, allow that new energy, that new inspiration, that new understanding to live through us and to guide us step by step, moment by moment in our daily lives.
And you think so? There's two things I want to pick up on there. So the first one is the question that you started that with, which was, what if? And I think I've done a podcast on this. I've certainly done a blog on this about the power of those two words added to your affirmation, to your prayer, whatever, because it just enlivens something within you of a possibility, a spark of possibility, of potential, of like, oh, yeah, the brain reacts to it in a really positive way. And I love that. And that idea of, well, what if you could live in this sense of peace and joy and harmony, and is such an invitation to actually really feel the potential of it, to feel the reality of it, which I absolutely love. The other point that I wanted to ask you about was the sense of community. So obviously, at your yoga center, people come physically, they walk in, you know, they're lucky, they live in Baltimore, you know, and they can walk in. And there are centers like this all over the world, all over, you know, in all cities, I would suspect, places where you can walk in and meditate in a group. And I mean, I know from when I'm sitting leading my classes, or when I've been in a yoga class, and I always begin and end with a little bit of meditation, certainly at the beginning. And the power of that is really tangible. I mean, is it as just simple as the joining of energy together with others in the same intention? What is your take on it?
That's a really good question. I mean, like, so I would say, and I'll also say, so I can comment first on what it's like to meditate and to be connected and in community in physical space. And then I also can say that we do offer all of our meditations online as well. So people join us from around the country, from around the world. And so you can hop on Zoom, you can hop on YouTube if you would like to join one of our meditations live. It's kind of amazing the way that we're able to connect across time and across space. And so one of the things that I would say is there is an incredible gift of embodied presence. Like, if you have the option to be in physical space and meditate in community, and you were talking about this, to be in a body and to feel how incredible it is to be here in this physical vehicle, like understanding it's a vehicle, we're not confined to this vehicle, we're not limited by it. And it's amazing to navigate time and space through these eyes and like with this heart and with these tiny and amazing human hands, like to think of how much creative energy and wholeness and creativity and joy and inspiration we can share through our own human selves. And I think what happens is that the reality is this energy of joy and freedom is our true nature for each of us. And so what happens is when we come into the presence of those who are steady in this remembrance, this practice, this awareness, it's so simple. It's just like a light goes on or a veil is removed. And it's just, of course, like, of course, we're the energy of joy and freedom. Of course, this is our true state. Of course. And it's almost like there's this open doorway or this portal that we all can just immediately walk through and connect with this realization, because this is the lasting reality. And what happens then is we gain the ability, I guess I'll use the metaphor of, we gain the ability to zoom out or to soar, to rise above the painful details of human existence, which also are going to be there in any human lifetime. And they don't mean that there's something wrong with us if we're experiencing painful details. It means we're a human in time and space. And so
it means we're experiencing entirety of what life has to offer, basically.
It's completeness. Yeah, it's part of the completeness, the pairs of opposites in time and space. But we zoom out and we kind of like soar out and we reconnect with the vastness, the expansiveness, the eternal, the immutable, the immortal, that life, that light in us that it's never, never changing. And then we're able to navigate what does change, but from a sense of lightness and a sense of this is a natural experience that we might be having in time and space, but we're not bound by this. We're not limited by this. And so I think one of the things that happens is when we connect, and this is true in physical space in a really precious way. So for anyone who has the opportunity, be in physical space, reconnecting and remembering this. But if not, like hop on to Zoom, hop on to YouTube, and it's just a natural, effortless, of course, this is the reality. Of course, that's my true nature. And then it actually can be that we support each other. We remind each other. So when we're in community and connection, we're able to see clearly for another. If they're not seeing clearly for themselves, like, you are a magnificent light. You are incredible. You are living with spiritual courage and honesty. You have so much inspiration and insight. You have so many gifts that you're bringing, and we can simply be the truth of that and help others remember the truth of that as well. And so that helps just melt away those human voices of doubt, or those human voices of self-judgment, or those human voices of fear, which would make us feel like we're separate. And so just the reality of our own connectedness, and then like living that in daily life with a lot of other humans, is really a gift. And it's a gift we give ourselves, and then it's a gift that we give to the other humans who we're meditating and connecting with. But then that energy of connection, it's with us. So like if we're taking the bus, or we're on the tram, or what is it you call it in London? The tube. We're on the tube. Yeah. So that energy of connectedness is just there, and it's silently present in our energy field. And then what happens, of course, is that we move in a different way in the world, and our experience of the world actually transforms. The people we encounter are given a silent invitation to also move in that energy of connectedness and remembrance. And so there are these waves of awareness and remembrance and connection and community that go out through us.
Beautiful. And when you're describing that, what's coming up for me is the idea, like when you're in a yoga class and you're chanting Om, for example, you know, at the beginning of class, you quite often chant Om 3 times. And there is a resonance that happens by the time you kind of got to the end of your first Om. All the voices suddenly meld into one, and there's this beautiful harmony that happens. Even if you've got people with really loud voices or quiet voices or out of tune voices, somehow the resonance happens. And I feel like it's the same, what you're describing to me feels like the same, but with energy. So when you're in that community, you're not, you know, you may chant, yes, but actually it's that harmonization of energetic awareness as well that's coming, which is really special. And I think the more work that I do, especially when I'm online and I'm doing a chakra reading or something, like picking up on somebody's energy, you think, you know, they're in Australia, and I'm like, I can still feel and read their energy as if they were in the room. You know, it just, this beautiful sense that energy is not constricted by the same boundaries that we are as in our human form, if you see what I mean. And that in itself is really freeing and a magical thing to experience, I think. Yeah,
I love your description. It was beautiful, it was moving, it was brilliant. And just to chime in, I completely agree, it is resonance. And so we're resonating and harmonizing within ourselves in relation to others, and then that energy of resonance connects us with the energy of harmony and resonance. And as you say, it's actually planet wide, and so it vanishes time and space. Like, we have connectedness with everyone who's moving in that energy of upliftment and joy and wholeness.
And all it takes is this awareness. But the one thing that I wanted to ask you about is the name of your thing, of your center, which is the Awake Yoga Meditation. And I'm really interested in this word awake, because you've kind of alluded to it already, in that this understanding that your true nature is joy and freedom is kind of, is it an awakening? Do you call it that? Or is it, you know, a remembering, certainly? And I love that term, a remembering, because it just, it means that you never weren't, you never, you know, it was always there. You just forgot because life got in the way, and that's fine. But this awake, becoming awake to it, talk to me about what that represents for you and your center and what you, the work you do.
I would love to. Thank you for the question. And I think the truth is that, as you mentioned, every human already has this awake energy within ourselves. And so we, before we come into this physical form, we are that energy of awakeness. As soon as we arrive in this physical form, that energy of awakeness is still within us. And in practice, so I'm going to start to talk about the Bhagavad Gita says, be established on yoga and be awakened. And so be established in that energy of divine union, be established, be awake to, continually steady in that energy of connectedness that we were just talking about. So it is a remembering, but for most humans, there's a practice involved in it. And so the Upanishads also use that word awake, that we're awakening to this reality that is already here within us. And teachings from the Buddha also use that word awake. And the Buddha actually means one who is awake. And so there's a beautiful set of teachings where the Buddha tells all of the Buddha's students, the same awakeness that is in me is in you, and tells us to discover this and then to live from that reality. And in December of last year, 2022, our community actually published a book called Awake, the Yoga of Pure Awareness, that talks about those teachings from the Buddha, talks about awakeness in yoga philosophy as well. And so it's both from the perspective of our expanded awareness and our true self. Awakeness is here, full on. It's always been here. We've never been separate from it. And for most humans, there's a process of, oh, like that energy of peace, that energy of universal kindness, that energy of inspired wisdom, that's the reality. And I can focus on that. And then that becomes the practice of this particular lifetime. And how that awakeness expresses through us, like it already expresses through you perfectly, through your teachings and through the chakra readings that you do and through this podcast that you do. And so for listeners, then the invitation is, what is this energy of awakeness within me? How does it feel when I have that simple, pure, alive energy within myself? And so there's likely a feeling of joy and a feeling of lightness, a feeling of effortless, a feeling of it's almost so natural that you haven't known to notice how present it already is with you. So it's what you love, and it's what you love in simplicity and purity. It's like if you are a human who likes to dance or walk or move your body or bake or cook or sew or build or create or dream or draw, whatever it is that you love, like if you love kids or plants or animals or elders, whatever it is that your natural joy shares itself through, that's the energy of awakeness. So it's always there. And then we give ourselves this amazing gift when we say, oh, I can claim this. Like I can trust this. I can be confident in this. I can be really brave. I can be audacious. I can be generous in this. I can be glad in this. And then just to live from that center of peace and that center of purpose, knowing that it's always connected. We're always connected to peace and we're always connected to purpose. And then that allows us in turn to keep going, you know, just step by step, whatever the walk is in time and space, whatever, however the human body feels, or however the human emotions are, whatever the human thoughts are, when you have that sense of inner peace and purpose, you get to keep going. And it becomes a much more dynamic and much more fun and much more light filled, much more humor filled process.
Yeah. I love that. And there's a couple of things that come up for me as you speak. And the first one is around, and it's reminded because I, you know, obviously looked at your website and looked around, and obviously as a Swami, you're wearing robes, and they're these beautiful saffron robes. And as you sit here today, you've got a beautiful saffron orange scarf on. And this instantly takes me to, in my work, the sacral chakra, which is represented by the color orange. But as you're speaking, you're talking about all these things that are embodied within this energy center, which is joy and laughter and fun and pleasure and following your passions, like really tapping into the passions that you have in your life, which make life worth living, I guess, you know, that make life joyful. And those are the, when you're, you know, pursuing those creative endeavors, whatever they be, whether it be, you know, dancing or sewing or baking or, you know, making a pot or whatever it is, you lose track of time, you lose track of space and time. You just are, you're just being, you're just in the moment doing it. And I this is probably a really dumb question, but what is the significance of this beautiful saffron color? Is it to the whole to your work, to being a Swami, I guess?
So it's a really good question. I'm actually looking right now on screen. I'm looking at a picture of my teacher, Swami Shankarananda. So if you want to see a picture of my teacher, go to awakeyogameditation.org, and then under spiritual heritage, you can see a picture of him, and he's wearing the orange robes, and it just makes me grin to see him. So as you say, it is associated with that energy of joy, that energy of serenity, the energy of connectedness, the energy of purpose. It also, so, and this is going to start to sound really intense, so stay with me. Mm-hmm. But in the past, traditionally, when a person became a Swami, it was as if their separate individual self died, the same way that a body would be burned on a pyre when a body died. It was as if the energy of separateness that was in you died. And so the orange robe makes visible, the orange scarf makes visible that we have vowed to walk through the illusion of separateness. And we have vowed to offer to the fire, to be transformed, to be transmuted, to be let go forever, the energy of separateness. And so we vow to live the energy of connectedness that I talked about. And so then I'll also start to talk about, I think, the significance of this, because obviously not every listener is going to be a Swami, but every human is asked to move through the fire of transformation. And so it becomes relevant to every human, because living in time and space, one of the ways that I would put this into words is, I think that every human lives many lifetimes in one life. And so to be able to gracefully walk through the fire of transformation, knowing that what is melting away as you walk through the fire is whatever is not needed anymore. And what emerges on the other side of that fire is an even more full, amazing expression of your true self. And so it's an even more full expression of unconditional, universal love and kindness and caring and just being fully present, being of service. And so for any human, that's just always the invitation is, I also think that most humans are walking through transformation. From my observation, tell me if you've seen this in your own practice, in your own teaching, but it seems pretty clear that most humans are engaged in this process. And the only question is, am I consciously and willingly engaged in this process of transformation, or am I resisting it? And so if you just say, okay, transformation is occurring, This is amazing, let's go with this, And let's let it be a matter of joy. And so then consciously, how easy could this be? Like we're saying again, what if I let this be easy? What if I said, I'm willing to let go of any images or attachments or concepts, restrictions, old patterns, old habits, limitations. I'm willing consciously, why would I want to hold on to that? So I can consciously offer it to the light and let it be transformed. And then we will also, each of us, have clarity. Each of us already has an inner knowing of what arises into view. If I let go of the old, the doubt, the fear, the judgment, the shame, the pain, the blame, the feeling separate, we already have an inner awareness of this is what is coming forth in me. And so if we allow that to be a matter of joy and a matter of, okay, so anything that's coming into my awareness right now, that's only rising into my awareness so that I may see it and heal it and offer it to the light. And then what happens on the other side of that is, that energy that we might have been fighting with and kind of like feeling we had to hold part of ourselves separate from another part of ourselves, it becomes resolved and liberated. And so when we're not fighting ourselves and we're not fighting this natural flow and expansion of life and of our own awareness, what happens then is we're liberating. Any energy that used to be bound is now able to be free. And so there's more energy for joy, and there's more energy for that kind of just like calm and peace and presence right where we are.
You know, it's just so joyful. It just makes my heart happy. It makes it gives me solace just hearing you say those words. Just that simple acknowledgement and awareness that we are all in a state of transformation, that we are all walking through the fire, if you like. And we're walking towards the true self. We're walking towards what we're supposed to be, or closer to our best version of ourselves, if you like. And just that is just, it just is a sense of relief. that is really palpable. You know, this is not news to me, but hearing it is a balm to my soul. It just is really a beautiful thing to hear. It's such an important teaching. And it's simply this awareness that is happening is pretty much the only step that we're taking. Just going, oh, so this is where I am, I see, and onwards.
I would agree with you that it's deeply healing. And I would also agree with you, it's deeply freeing. And I'm looking at my teacher's picture as I'm saying this. So my teacher demonstrated this, like he demonstrated it with his body, he demonstrated it with his life. So he was here, he shared these teachings of yoga philosophy that I'm talking about right now. But he did that, I think, for about 38 years. So he founded the community and then shared these teachings for 38 years. And I met him in 2010, and he left the body in 2014. But he kept sharing these teachings until 2 weeks before he left the body. So up until the very last, he was just absolutely steady, totally dedicated to sharing these teachings. But another thing that I just wanted to say is he made visible with his body and with his life that the light continually expands. So when I met him in 2010, he was already fully the light. But every single moment that he was here in the physical, the light kept expanding through him. And so what that made visible for me is that this is natural. It is part of the process for all of us. And so as long as we're here in the physical, there's always going to be more light that we can open to. And I think another healing observation or reality and connection to the way that you phrased it, there's nothing wrong with us. So just basically to tell all humans, there's nothing wrong with you. There's never been anything wrong with you. And there's nothing wrong with you right now. And there never will be anything wrong with you. And so we are here in the physical and we are learning and we're making choices. And then we're realizing, oh, I made that choice. This is what I learned in relation to that choice. Let me keep the wisdom and let go of any pain and move forward. And so when we do that, I think there's also, it becomes like a lot less sticky and we feel less like there's something wrong with us for being here.
It allows flow. It allows it to just flow and be and move and transmute, if you like, and just continue to, this expansion into towards the light. And you've said this a couple of times, and I'm pretty sure I know what you mean, but I want you to explain what you mean by this light, like letting things go into the light or allowing the light within to expand. You know, during meditations, you're often encouraged to visualize a light or focus on a light, you know. So light is it's a clear instruction, but how does it actually, you know, how does it translate for you that?
Absolutely. So one of the things that I would share, all of our meditations begin with the Gayatri mantra. And so sometimes we chant that in Sanskrit and then recite it in English. But one of the things that the Gayatri mantra says is the universe is radiance projected into time and space. The whole universe is radiance projected into time and space. And what that means is we are part of that radiance. We are always part of that radiance. Like there's never been a moment that the human body of each of us has ever been disconnected from that radiance. And so for the heart of each of us, there's never been a moment that the heart of each of us has been anything other than connected to radiance. And the same thing with the mind of each of us. The mind is that radiance in the form of a human mind. And so our life, if we remember that we are just radiance streaming forth into time and space, and I think this is, you alluded to it really beautifully, there then becomes this almost like flow. We remember that we can be very, very steady and very poised, very steadfast in our remembrance and our awareness and our practice, but also there's flexibility and there's like life is always in motion. And so we're dancing with that energy and we're open too, like we're open-hearted, we're living from this full-hearted awareness that in every moment radiance is here. So we're just connecting to that energy of radiance and living in that light. And I would also say that energy of radiance within us, it's the energy of inspired wisdom. It's the energy of kindness. It's very simple. It's very pure. It's very honorable. It's very generous. It's very noble. It's very bright. And it's right with us. And so that's our incredibly, like, indomitably strong true self. We have so much strength within ourselves. And so it gives us almost like this opening to connect with and just remember, indomitable strength is here. I do not need to fear anything in time and space. I can act with wisdom and awareness in relation to time and space, but fearlessness can be part of that. Courage and ease can be part of that. But then also there's this almost like brightness or playfulness or effervescence that comes with it as well. So it's not a rigid strength, it's a joyful strength, and it's a balance. And when we're balanced, like when the body and the heart and the mind and the life are coming from this energy of radiance, then we're peace. And we are able to use our mind as an instrument when we need to use our mind, but also then we have the ability to quiet the mind and to sleep when it's helpful to quiet the mind and to sleep. It's sort of like if we allow the mind to be an instrument that serves us rather than allowing the mind. Someone recently used the image of a hamster, sort of like running on the hamster wheel. But if we have the ability to use the mind, it's a tool. But then when we've completed our work with that tool, we can lay down the tool. And it's the equivalent of like, if we've been working with a hammer, the hammer doesn't need to be like jumping around on the table after we've laid down the hammer.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, I think it's wonderful. What you're bringing forth is this beautiful possibility, this beautiful sort of infinite potential, joy, freedom that we all have within us. And I think that a lot of people will, you know, myself included, we recognize that, and that sparks, you know, that gives us just a spark of joy, just on remembrance, exactly. But we are also frequently bogged down in the realities of life, in using our energy towards things that might not bring us joy, but they kind of got to be done because we've got bills to pay or whatever. Yeah. And so there's this kind of two things that exist at the same time within us all, this idea that there is this potential for joy and freedom and love and lightness and all of that, but then there's also this very earthly, quite heavy sometimes, weight of responsibility, which is usually what it is. You know, it's having to look after other people, or, you know, it's this weight that's there that sort of counterbalances. And when it comes to, in real world terms, those choices between choosing to be joy and freedom and, you know, happy all the, you know, I'm being very trite when I say happy, but, you know, choice between that and actually I've got to go to work and get a paycheck. You know, everybody is like, yeah, I've just got to go to work and get the paycheck. So how do we bring those two very opposite ends of the spectrum into our lives?
Thank you so much for your question and for the spiritual courage and honesty of asking that question. And so I also want to acknowledge, I think that our culture, we're all part of it, we're all connected to it, but we have constructed a culture where we have the invitation to be continually, what's the right way to put this? Activated. Not always in a positive way. So we have the invitation to have our nervous system be continually on and continually concerned and continually responding to a perceived or actual threat, yeah, or thing that we need to take care of. And so I think what we have the opportunity to give ourselves is the gift of remembering that each of us can create direct, practical, accessible ways to calm and quiet our own nervous system, and then to practice discernment and awareness about what is most important for me to attend to. What are the actual priorities here? And so One of the ways to put this is, like, let's say that you have, and this is why I think it's helpful to remember the people who practice these teachings that I'm talking about. Some of them are CEOs or doctors or surgeons or lawyers or dentists. They run very high powered practices and workplaces. And what they consistently say is, if I connect with the quiet for 5 minutes in the morning or 10 minutes in the morning or 20 minutes in the morning, what I find is that the energy of cooperation, the energy of community, the energy of connection, the energy of inspiration, the energy of inspired wisdom, which is larger than the individual. So we're still using all of our talents that we've trained in and in which we have gained our expertise, but we're also connecting to this kind of spirit or energy that is larger than ourselves. Then that energy of inspiration and cooperation actually shares with the whole practice, with the whole office, with the whole department, with the whole family. And so to give ourselves the gift of 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 minutes of quiet in the morning, we more than get back that 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes in the course of the day. And what we find then, and this is what I would encourage people to experiment with instantly without waiting, it's important to honor our responsibilities. And what if we allowed ourselves to feel inner lightness of heart and inner joy as we honor our responsibilities, so that we remember that core inspiration, like that core joy that brought us to this practice or this profession or this family or this neighborhood or this city or this way of being of service in the first place, so that continually we are responding, like there's this upwelling, this like fountain of inspiration that's available always, even as we honor our responsibilities. And then that's where you get the fun things. Like I saw a video a couple of weeks ago of, I think it was a neuroscientist, surgeon, pediatric surgeon, and he would dance with his patients. So he's doing like serious surgery for young people who are experiencing serious conditions, and he would dance with them. And you see this video, and like some of the patients are like on their back in a hospital bed, they can't really move, and they're dancing in their hospital bed, or they're like in a wheelchair, they're dancing with the doctor. And then you see like patients who have like very visibly bandaged limbs, and they're dancing. And what happens is the outcomes and the healing for those particular patients, it's actually faster. It brings their immune system online in an even brighter and more joyful way. And it gives them that feeling that we were talking about earlier. I might have this physical condition, and there's nothing wrong with me. Like at the core of me, there's nothing wrong with me. And so then that energy of wholeness, it's actually pouring through into our own wellness journey, whatever that wellness journey is that we're having. And so that was just one example of one human and how he brings that energy of joy into his practice. But I think the basic practice or principle is for each of us, yes, please, let's be responsible and responsive and present. But also, what if I allow myself to be filled with a sense of lightness while I attend to my daily tasks and responsibilities? What if I ask myself, how much fun can I have today while I take care of all of these tasks and responsibilities? What if I don't wait to connect with that energy of joy, and I allow that energy of joy to infuse all of my thoughts and all of my words and all of my choices, all of my tasks, all of my actions that I'm taking today?
Yeah, that's so beautiful. So, I mean, this has just been so fascinating, and I feel like you've given us so much positive, beautiful, positive energy. I'm going to go away floating on air. And I think if everybody just has this inkling of the remembrance of joy and freedom that is their nature, that is their true essence, then the world is going to be a more beautiful place. And I'm so grateful to you for sharing your wisdom with me and your teachings. And I want to give my words all in a tingle. What is your the website that, so if people want to join in one of your meditations and actually become part of the community, how can they do that?
Absolutely. So awakeyogameditation.org is our website, and everyone is welcome. So there's like literally nothing you have to do other than join, like hop on Zoom, hop on YouTube, walk in the door physically. So there's like no barrier. There's nothing that you have to do. Just be and participate, like come meditate with us. It's so much fun. We also have teachings on the website. So there's a book, Awake, the Yoga of Pure Awareness, on our website as well. There's a blog on our website, and we share teachings on YouTube. We share teachings on Instagram and on TikTok as well. Feel free, if anyone has any questions, you can email me. I'm at swami@awakeyogameditation.org. But also just so much joy and gratitude. And thank you for sharing your warmth, Roseanne. And that came across so clearly when I was listening to your podcast, but it's such a joy to connect with you. And thank you for all that you share. And to the listeners, I just want to say gratitude and respect, because I know it's not always easy being in a human body, and you are amazing. It's amazing that you're here. Thank you for being here. And you make a positive contribution wherever you are.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Swami Nityananda. Thank you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.